Welcome to the deep dive. We know you want to stay informed efficiently, so we're here to cut through the noise and give you the key insights from tech, science, and programming.
Yeah, we've gathered some really interesting articles this time covering, you know, big tech, startups, some pretty futuristic science.
Programming developments, too, and a few other bits and pieces.
Exactly.
So our goal is pretty straightforward. Unpack what really matters in these sources, find those aha moments, and basically leave you feeling glued in and ready for what's next.
Absolutely. It's a good snapshot, I think, of how fast things are moving right now. You really see the innovation accelerating. Mm-hmm. It's about understanding the currents, you know, shaping uh-huh. these fields. So where do you want to start?
Okay, let's maybe start with the big players. Apple, specifically. What's going on with their AI plans?
Oh, yeah. Apple Intelligence.
Right. Reports are suggesting the features they teased last June at WWDC. Well, they're facing some pretty big delays.
Yeah, I saw that. The big one seems to be the new Siri.
Exactly. Apparently, it won't even show up at the next WWDC. That's like a full year after they first talked about it. Quite a wait.
It is. And what's really interesting, I think, is you see this gap between how much Apple's clearly investing in AI and, well, the results we're actually seeing. We're not seeing, maybe. They've definitely jumped into the AI race, but their impact so far feels a bit muted compared to the hype, anyway.
Yeah, that makes sense. And for Apple, you know, known for integrating things so perfectly, wow. to have these kinds of delays in something as critical as AI, it makes you wonder, is it a shift in how they develop things, or maybe they just didn't gauge how fast AI is moving?
It could signal a wider challenge, couldn't it, for companies mm-hmm. trying to balance that really polished design
yeah.
with, you know, the sheer speed needed in AI right now.
Totally. And the articles we looked at, they offer a couple of different perspectives, right?
At some point, fingers at, like, executive decisions maybe not working out.
Or maybe deeper problems, like internal hurdles in how Apple actually does AI development.
It does make you wonder what the real bottleneck is, especially for a company with Apple's resources and, frankly, their reputation.
Mm.
It really highlights this contrast in philosophies, doesn't it? Mm. Some tech companies are all about getting things out fast, iterating, even if it's not perfect.
Whereas Apple's always been about that polished, seamless experience from day one.
Exactly. And maybe that commitment to those really high standards is, well, part of the reason for these delays now.
Interesting point. Okay, speaking of intense AI competition, let's switch gears to OpenAI. They've got this new tool, Codex.
Yes. Codex. They're calling it an agentic coding tool.
Okay. Unpack that for us. What does agentic mean here, practically?
So think of it like a really smart AI helper, specifically for coders, but experienced ones.
Right.
The aim isn't really to replace developers. It's more about boosting what they can do, taking over the more routine, simpler coding tasks.
Okay, so automating the grunt work, basically.
Pretty much. The idea is to let developers focus on the harder, more creative problems. Codex can, you know, generate production-ready code for the straightforward bits.
Gotcha. Boosting productivity, streamlining things, and it's easy to access. I think the sources said it's right in the ChatGPT sidebar.
Yeah, super convenient. Like having a coding assistant right there.
And there was something about an agents.md file.
Yes, that's where developers can give a custom instruction, so you can kind of tailor how Codex works for your specific project.
Smart.
And technically, it's built on a fine-tuned version of their O3 reasoning model. Mm. So think of it as a very advanced version of their core AI, but specifically trained for code.
Okay, cool. And who can use this right now? Is it widely available?
Not quite yet. It's rolling out now to ChatGPT Pro, Enterprise, and Team users.
Okay.
And they plan to add Plus and Education users later on. It's a phased rollout, which makes sense. Let them get feedback, tweak things.
Yeah. Standard practice. Okay, moving away from the digital world for a second. There's some pretty incredible stuff happening in fundamental science, too. Fusion energy.
Oh, yeah. Big news there. Mm. The U.S. Department of Energy's National Ignition Facility. They've hit another milestone.
What did they achieve this time?
They've managed to more than double the energy output from their fusion experiment, the one that already achieved net energy gain.
Wow. Doubled it.
Yep. They're now up to 8.6 megajoules. Remember back in 2022, they made history with the first controlled fusion reaction that actually produced more energy than it took to start that. It was 3.15 megajoules.
Right. I remember that. Huge news.
So this latest result, it just really highlights how quickly things are moving. Doubling the yield to 8.6 megajoules, it's not just a bigger number. It suggests a big jump in the efficiency of the reaction itself.
Which means?
Well, it potentially brings the engineering needed for a real working fusion reactor closer. It kind of shifts the conversation from, can we even do this, towards, okay, how fast can we scale it?
That's amazing. It feels like science fiction becoming reality. But the articles were pretty clear, right? This isn't powering our homes tomorrow.
Oh, definitely not. While it's a massive step and shows controlled fusion is increasingly viable as, you know, a future energy source, there are still huge engineering and scaling hurdles.
So not ready for the grid yet?
Not even close. But still, every big result like this gets us a bit nearer.
Okay. On a completely different scientific note, but also potentially huge, the FDA approved a blood test for Alzheimer's.
Yes. The first one designed to aid in diagnosis. This is a really big deal for how we might approach Alzheimer's diagnosis and management.
Who is it for, specifically?
It's intended for patients, 55 and older, who are showing those early signs of the disease.
And how does it work?
It looks for beta amyloid in the blood. That's a protein, a key marker, strongly linked to Alzheimer's.
What makes this so significant, do you think?
Well, a few things. First, access. It's likely going to be much cheaper and way more convenient than the current methods.
Which?
Things like invasive spinal fluid tests or really expensive PT scans.
Right. So this could open things up.
Exactly. Wider access could mean earlier diagnosis for more people. And that, in turn, might expand the use of the drugs we have that can, you know, modestly slow the disease down. It gives patients and families more time.
That accessibility point feels absolutely key. Okay, let's shift into programming, design, data science. Our sources mentioned a discussion between folks at Google AI and Datadog.
Yeah, Google's director of AI and Datadog's VP of engineering.
Yeah.
Sounds like they were talking about the current state and future of AI, ML, LLMs, specifically on Google Cloud.
Did we get the details of their chat?
Not the whole thing, but the sources pulled out 7 key takeaways, sort of action points for tech leaders.
Okay, like what?
Things like how to upskill your teams, you know, to actually work with these new AI tools effectively, and also best practices for observability.
Ah, observability makes sense. Like how to monitor and manage these complex AI systems once they're running.
Precisely. As this tech gets deeper into everything, you absolutely need good strategies to manage and watch over it.
Yeah, definitely. And speaking of Google and AI getting integrated, which looks like they're bringing more AI directly onto Android devices.
That's the buzz. They're expected to unveil new MLKit GenAI APIs, that's Machine Learning Kit Generative AI, probably at Google I.O. 2025.
And what will these APIs let developers do?
They'll allow third-party devs to build AI features, like, say, smart text summarization, right into their own Android apps. Pretty easily, it sounds like.
And it's not just text, right? Didn't the sources say image input, too?
Correct. And maybe the biggest deal here is that these APIs will allow AI models like Gemini Nano to run on the device.
On-device processing. Why is that significant?
Two main reasons. One, it means these features can work on lots of different Android devices, not just the absolute newest, most powerful ones.
Okay.
And two, privacy. Because the processing happens locally on your phone, user data doesn't necessarily have to go up to the cloud.
That's a big selling point, the privacy angle. Okay, switching to something maybe a bit more niche in web development, CSS contrast color. That's a new one on me.
Ah, yeah, it's actually pretty neat and very practical. Basically, contrast color lets the browser figure out the best contrasting color automatically.
How does that work?
You define one color, say a background color. Then you can use contrast color for the text on top, and the browser picks either like black or white or whatever you specify as options to make sure there's enough contrast for readability.
Oh, that's clever. For accessibility.
Exactly. It's huge for accessibility.
Yeah.
And the article mentioned it's especially good for bigger projects.
Why is that?
Well, imagine a huge website with lots of different themes or sections. Manually managing every single color contrast combination can get really complicated and, frankly, error prone.
I see that.
So contrast color just automates it. You set the base color, the browser does the hard work of picking a good contrast, following accessibility rules. The source we saw even had a guide on using it and talked about those accessibility points.
That's genuinely smart. Okay, moving into our miscellaneous section, Google I.O. 2025 is coming up soon, right? Mid-May.
Yep, May 20th and 21st, back at Shoreline Amphitheater in Mountain View.
The usual big developer conference, what are we expecting?
Oh, the usual flood of announcements across, well, everything Google. Android, Chrome, Search, YouTube, and, of course, Gemini AI.
Any specific predictions based on the sources?
Android 16 will definitely be a big focus. Yeah. Updates on Android XR, their AR/VR stuff, and Wear OS too.
Okay.
And there are leaks, whispers suggesting maybe an updated Gemini Ultra model, the really powerful one, and possibly even a new pricier subscription tier for Gemini.
Ah, more AI focus then. Seems likely.
Yeah, it looks like AI is going to be front and center again. No surprise there.
Okay, and finally, Fortnite versus Apple. That whole saga seems to be dragging on.
It really is. Sort of an impasse right now. Apple apparently told Epic Games they need to submit separate US and EU versions of Fortnite to the App Store. But Apple's main stance hasn't changed. They won't even consider letting Fortnite back into the US App Store until all the legal battles between them are completely, finally done.
And Epic's reaction, they're not just waiting, are they?
Nope. They've apparently asked a court to step in, try to force Apple to allow Fortnite back onto US iPhones.
So the lawyers are still busy.
Very busy, it seems. That drama is definitely not over yet.
Well, that about wraps up this deep dive. We've certainly covered a lot of ground. Apple's AI struggles, OpenAI's codex for coding,
the fusion breakthroughs, that Alzheimer's blood test,
and AI on Google Cloud and Android devices, that neat CSS trick,
Google I/O buzz, and the never-ending Fortnite fight. Yeah, quite a mix.
And hopefully we've pulled out the key takeaways for you without, you know, drowning you in detail.
That's always the goal.
Absolutely. We just want to spark your curiosity, give you the essentials to stay informed. So on that note, maybe a final thought for you to chew on. As this on-device AI gets smarter and more woven into our phones and gadgets, what does that mean for the balance between our personal privacy and getting, you know, really useful, personalized features?
That's the big question, isn't it?
What trade-offs are coming? What might we as users need to think about as this tech keeps racing ahead? Something to consider.